Have your Bibles this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. Little things, the power of little things. You might, and we're going to go through scripture a little bit, and you'll find that men and women ignored the value of little things. And we do too. This morning I want to encourage you about little things. You'll notice that, number one, little sin can make a great difference. If you were to take all your life and you were to live a perfect life. Now, we can't live a perfect day, but let's say we could live a perfect life. And we just fell into sin one time. The Bible says in James chapter 2 that if we could do a perfect job but yet have one sin, then we're guilty of all. So we become a sinner because we sin. It only takes one sin to send us to a devil's hell. So everybody in this room today, the Bible says, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. His glory is perfection. So everybody in this room, we may look at things and sins that we do, and by the way, sin is only defined as something against God. In other words, God either said, don't do this or don't do that, but sin is always with reference to God. We break the law in man, but we sin when we do something God has said not to do. So sin is always defined as something that God has said not to do or to do. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we can sin with omission or commission, either one, things we do or things we don't do and we ought to do. And so you'll notice in this passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, it says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savior. Every time I think of dead flies, I go to my grandparents' house, and I used to be have a fly swatter, and I'd go around and I'd kill all the flies because they didn't have an air conditioner many years ago. They had an outhouse, and I used to love to go there because my horse was there, and I'd go hunting and fishing and riding my horse every day, and it was just heaven on earth. While I was growing up, I'd go every summer when school was out and get up there. Well, my grandmother used to always cook, and she'd say, grandson, I got some flies in the kitchen. Would you get them out? And so I'd take the fly swatter and I'd hunt them. Every once in a while, she would always encourage me to wait till they light. Because if I didn't, if I swatted them out of the air, I didn't know which pot she was cooking they were going to go in. Well, I don't have to tell you whichever pot or whichever pie they went in. And I'll never forget, she fixed a cherry cheesecake, and I knocked it in the cherry cheesecake. And she just reached over and flicked it out with her finger and threw it over. And that cheesecake was done for me. I wasn't about to eat that cheesecake. It was a little fly, and it ruined the whole thing for me. Well, you know, when you look at this passage, it says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary. He's building a perfume that smells beautiful. But you put a dead fly in it, and it loses its sweetness, that the smell is different. And so we don't think about it as much, but dead flies or sins in our life ruin us in certain ways. They can ruin you for heaven if you and I sin against the Lord. You know, he says in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned. He said, you know, all of us, everybody in this room, we've sinned against the Lord. And so we've crossed the line that God has said, and we have no way to get to heaven. Do you realize this? There's nothing you've got that God wants. And everything you and I have, he gave us. Well, Pastor, no, that's not true. Actually, I've worked hard. Okay, and whose air did you breathe? And whose body did you use? The Bible says, for a Christian in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which are his. So you and I have nothing. Our body is on loan from heaven. We've gotten this body that we use in this life. How many of you, you went to the store and you got your mind? How many of you, you got your ability to speak? You see, all of these things God has given to us. How many of you chose what country you'd be born in? How many of you got to choose? You said, well, I got to choose. Well, I chose the college I went to. I chose my degree I was going to go to. I chose we went to the high school. I got to choose a high school. You begin to think all these things you got to choose, but you didn't get to choose where you'd be born. You didn't get to choose your family. You see, God was good to every one of us in this room. And you might look at it and say, yeah, but I did. No, we did nothing. And so when we sin against the Lord and we turn to the Lord and say, Lord, how can I pay you back? He said, you've got nothing I want. I've given you a mind that was clean, and you've polluted it. That's where he says, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I've given you a body, and you've used my hands and feet to do things that I didn't intend. How will you pay me back for that one sin? Well, I'll do something good for you, but what about the bad things that has to be paid? I don't know how to pay you back. And the Lord says, there's nothing you can do to pay me back. So you and I have sinned against the Lord, and that sin or those sins will send us to hell. The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:15. So you and I in this room, we deserve to go to a place called hell because we're sinners. So pick any sin that you have, it will send you to hell. Unless you and I do something about it. We'll get to that at the end of the message. But for now, if you and I in this room have never trusted Christ as Savior, we've got to go to hell, pay for our own sin. The little things that we have done will ruin us. They'll ruin you for all eternity. You'll end up being in hell forever. And so the Lord says, I don't want that. So he said, I'll pay your debt of sin. And so here we are. We get a body and a mind that God gives to us. We misuse it and we abuse it. And we turn to the Lord and we say, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. And he says, but that's what you deserve. But he says, I love you. And so I'm going to give you the gift of eternal life. Will you receive it? And so you and I in this room have to receive that gift in order to go to heaven. So the little things will destroy you in hell for all eternity. Every one of us in this room, we all deserve to go to hell. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The payment. We always love payday. Maybe you get paid on Fridays every 2 weeks or Friday, every other 15th and 30th, whenever you get paid. Maybe you get paid every week. But we love paydays, except when it comes to little things, the sins that we commit. Now, we look at things as little, and we sort of pass over them. I want you to notice that things are big to the Lord when we disobey him. If you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to 2 Samuel. I'm not going to give you the actual passage, 2 Samuel 12, but I want you to notice there's a great king in 2 Samuel 12. I want you to notice that King David now, keep in mind, he was a nobody, 17-year-old kid, and God blessed him and gave him a fearless nature about him so that he could fight a lion and a bear. And most of us cannot do that. Fear would take over. We would run for our lives. I remember Susan's father-in-law, his name is Bear Watley. They called him Bear because he was about 5'10 and 240 and just mean as a snake, if I could say it that way. But he was a very loving guy, if he liked you. We were in Alaska, and he was up in Alaska hunting, and they were flying an airplane, and the plane went down, and they had flown over and seen a grizzly. And when they crashed, it wasn't a terrible crash. They tried to land it, and it tore up the plane, but they all got out, and Susan was in the hospital, and he showed up at the hospital, and he was telling us his story. And I said, how'd you get that tear in your coat? He said, well, I snagged it on the plane. And that's all you got? That's all I got. And he said, but you know, it was an amazing thing. He said, when we hit the ground, he said, that grizzly we had been looking, watching, flying over, which, by the way, is illegal. And he saw this grizzly, and the grizzly stood up and caught his scent. And so the grizzly started coming toward them. And he was 400 or 500 yards away, and he said, I watched him as he was coming right toward us, and the pilot had a 45 in his hand, and I had a 300 Weatherby, and I was looking at him, and I was watching him. I was watching him through the scope, and he'd hit a stream, and water would go everywhere. And then I said, well, he must have gone down and gone down the stream. And then through the water would come this grizzly still coming. And he said, oh, my goodness. And he kept watching him, kept watching him, kept watching him. And pretty soon he got closer and closer. And then he paused in the story and said, do you know how far the grizzlies or most bears are shot in Alaska? I said, no. He said, 15 feet. I said, whoa. Well, you're obviously here. Yeah. He said, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. And so then the bear keeps coming, and about 100 yards out, he shoots him, and he bites his shoulder where he shot him. He shook his head and just kept coming. And he said, it shot him about 75 yards and about 50 yards. And at that time, the pilot laid his 45 on the gun on the wrecked plane and started running. I said, Pop, what did you do? Did you run too? He says, where was it going to go? He said, I was going to give him every bullet I had. And if he got to me, well, he's going to have a good meal at night, okay? So he takes that gun and keeps shooting him. And finally, he falls about 15, 20 feet in front of him. My heart was just pounding. Wow. And he said, you know, my heart, well, I was about to die. And he said, but I wasn't leaving. It was either him or me. Now, there's very few people like that. Most of us are like the pilot. I think I can outrun him if I run fast enough. Susan's dad is that way. David was that way. He saw the bear. He said, I can take him. By God's strength, he did. And David sees Goliath. I can defeat him because of the Lord. And he did. But then you'll notice he becomes king and becomes very important. And all of a sudden, things that are important to God become little to him. And you know, all of us in this room, if we're not careful, God blesses us, and the important things to God become little to us. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. Now, number one, Nathan was a man of great courage, because he had to go tell David the sin he had committed. And you don't go tell the king, you know what, God is angry with you, and you know what you've done? That takes courage. At this point in time, I would have rather not been a preacher if God would have said this. So Nathan goes to King David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. You know what God said? Uriah's one little ewe lamb was Bathsheba. That, to God, to David, was little. It's just a woman. So she's married. I'm the king. And God said, wait a minute. That little ewe lamb's important to me. And all of us in this room, you may become successful, and if we're not careful, things that are important to God become little. And we misuse them. So read the rest of the story. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew together, up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared not to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was coming to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold. And verse 7, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You have devalued things to where they're little. What things have we valued as little today that are important to God? Well, Pastor, it's just a little sin. Yes, I had an affair, but everybody does it. It may be little to you, but it's big to God. You look at it and say, well, what difference does it make? It causes your testimony to stink before God. Well, Pastor, you know, my parents don't treat me right, and, you know, so I backtalk them every once in a while, but, you know, I don't mean to, but I just argue with them and fuss and fight with them a little bit, but everybody does it. Is that a little thing to you? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Maybe you're here today and you and your mate are at odds with each other, and the Lord said, husbands, love your wives as I loved you. I died for you. All of a sudden, things become little to us that are important to God. But can I tell you this? When it gets out that the little things to us, which are big things to God, our testimony goes right down the tubes. In Memphis, we had two men that counted the money. Now we have many more than that here. How many is on a team that count money? Where's Brother Dave? Dave Durham, is he here, in here? Anybody know, Brother John, you know how many people are on a team that count money? Four. Okay, now, part of the reason for that is because there were two men in Memphis that counted the money. And so they counted the money, they counted all the checks, and they got the cash, and he said, five for you and five for me, five for you and five for me. It was a little thing to them, but it wasn't to God. You see, it's not what you can get away with. It's what God says, that's important to me. So wives, you ought to follow your husband. That's important to God. Husbands, you ought to love your wives. That's important to God. Young people, you ought to love your parents and follow them and obey them from your heart, because that's important to God. It may be a little ewe lamb to you, but it's important to God. Little things to us. Well, everybody's like it. Let me tell you something. Everybody's not the standard. God is the standard. And his principles in Scripture are the standards all of us are live by. And when we fail, we disappoint the Lord and we ruin our testimony before him. And I want you to understand today that he gives us this simple little principle. He said, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to bring forth a stinking savor. And we look at things and say, but it's just one little fly. Everybody's got them. You'll notice not only that, but the closer we get to the Lord, the more he expects of us. You might think, well, you know, what do you mean? Well, take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. I want you to see this. This verse always amazes me. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy 32, but Numbers 20, verse number 8. Verse number 7, I'm sorry. Numbers 20, verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. So here's the command. What I want you to do is I want you to, now the children of Israel are doing wrong. I want you to notice today, many times when people around us value little things before the God of heaven and he thinks they're big things, you and I fall into that trap. Well, here's Moses, perhaps one of the greatest Christians to ever live. He was called the friend of God. He met with God for 40 days personally. No one here has ever done that. No one in the scriptures have ever done that. Can you imagine to meeting with the Lord? And when he came down off the mountain, his face glowed from the glory of God that had been shined upon him. And he didn't even realize it when he went down. Can you imagine the privilege of that? Well, that man, God said, I want you to, I know the children of Israel are thirsty. He takes them up to a rock, said, I want you to speak to that rock, and it's going to bring forth water right out of the rock. Now, that alone, I would have liked to have just seen that. So that's what I'll do. And he gets up there and he looks out at all the people, and I'm sure there were some people not paying attention. Brother Matt, close your eyes like you're asleep. Close your eyes like you're asleep. Okay? Let's see here. Let me see. Brother Guevara, I want you to bow your head like you're asleep. Okay? Bow your head like you're asleep. Brother Guevara, put your head down. Okay. All right? Let's see here. Brother Steele, okay? I want you to turn around and look at your neighbor to your right. Tiffany. Look at Tiffany. Okay? Now, look here. I'm preaching away, and Brother Matt is asleep. Brother Guevara is snoring, and here, brother, over here, this brother, he's looking at the lady next to him, trying to figure out what's going on over there, and I'm looking at him saying, wait a minute, I'm preaching. You're supposed to be paying attention. Okay, everybody look up this way now. And so you know what happened? Moses gets angry. You know what he does? I'm sure there were some people not paying attention. They were just goofing around. And he said, you don't understand. This is important to God. And he takes that rod in his hand. He goes over that rock and he said, come out of water out of that rock. And he strikes that rock. Notice, if you would, verse 10. This is Numbers 20:10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. You know what? That's not a nice word to tell the children of God. It was true. But you know, I don't have the right to get up here and say, Brother Matt, you're a rebel. Brother Guevara, you're a rebel. Brother Steele, you're a rebel. Not even paying attention in church. That's what Moses did. He just got in the flesh a little bit. Anybody here ever done that? Just a little bit? You got in the flesh with your mate. You got in the flesh with your boss. You got in the flesh with a coworker. And to you, it's a little ewe lamb. Got in the flesh with your brother or your sister. You know, sibling rivalry? How many ever heard of that? Sibling rivalry. Did you know that's sin? You know, it's not pleasing to the Lord. He didn't give you a brother to argue with. He gave you a brother or sister to love. You might say, my sister? I understand. But you know what? God gave you people to love and care about. But we look at it and say, everybody gets mad. Everybody does this. Everybody does that. And you know what God says? Look, if you would. Verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And you know what? I can guarantee you Moses didn't think a thing about it. Because it was a little difference from God saying, speak to the rock, and Moses getting angry and using his rod and zapping the rock twice. Verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, ever being called to the woodshed? And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. It was both of them. They must have discussed it. I don't know if they did, but they both got in trouble for it. Because you believed me not. You know, it's like you don't believe that if I tell you something to do something and you speak to the rock, it'll work. You need to use your rod to make sure it works. Because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. Take your Bible and turn with me to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30. I said 30, it's Deuteronomy 32, I'm sorry. Just checking, see if you were listening. Deuteronomy 32, verse number 51. In verse 49, he says, get thee up into the Mount Abiram, unto Mount Nebo. Look at verse 51. Because ye trespassed against me. You know what that is? That's the definition of sin. Because you trespass against me. Now, it is a little thing to not speak to the rock and to strike the rock to me. But it wasn't to the Lord. It was direct disobedience. Because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the water of Meribah Kadesh, notice in verse 52, yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I gave the children of Israel. How many of you know what a dream is? How many of you have dreams? I mean goals that you have in the future. Can you imagine your greatest dream being taken away from you because of a little thing? You just didn't obey me. When I ask you to speak to the rock, you struck it. Now, you and I look at it and say, that's not a big thing. Have you ever had your mom or dad look at you and say, listen to me, and you missed a couple of instructions? Well, that is important to the Lord. Little things are important to the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to lose my greatest dream because I lost my temper with you. Or because I mistreated you. Or because I mistreated my wife or my son or my coworker. But God says there is a price for a little sin in your sight because it's big to me. You'll notice if you listen, my favorite person in Scripture is Daniel. My second favorite close between Daniel and Noah is Moses and Noah. It's a close second. Does anybody know why Daniel is first in my book? Pardon me? No sin is recorded. He was a sinner, but no sin is recorded. God chose to not record any sin of Daniel. Now let me ask this question. What was Moses' sin? Lost his temper and struck the rock. Everybody in this room knows that. Does anybody know what Noah's sin was? He got drunk one night and was naked, and his sons had to cover him up. One of the greatest men to ever live. You know what? Little things are important to the Lord. Now, not just little sins, but little people are important to the Lord. Now, all of us in this room, maybe we can say, I'm a little person. I'm not very important. If you have your Bible, take your Bible and turn me, if you would, to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. Notice 1 Samuel 15 in verse number 17. Now, this is the story of Saul. He's been a king for a couple of years, and God gave him a specific instruction, and he chose to disobey it. You'll notice, if you would, in verse 3 of chapter 15, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both men and women. Notice in verse number 3, the very last part, ox and sheep, camel and ass. He explains it all. He said, they are an abomination to me. They offer their cattle and their sheep to their gods, and I want no part of them. Well, then, now understand, Saul goes in and he saves the best sheep. Can you imagine in your mind, Lord, these are perfect animals to me. I want to offer them to you. And God says, I already told you what to do. They're not perfect to me. They've been offered to idols. I don't want any part of it. So because of that, notice if you would, Saul decided in himself what God needed. And God got upset with him. And notice with me, if you would, in verse 15 of 1 Samuel 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. He said, look, we've saved the best sheep and oxen to sacrifice to you. He said, I don't want their best sheep. They're not good enough for me. So Saul decided what God wanted. And notice what happens in verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast what? Little in thine own sight. You know who God uses? People that are little in their own sight. Little things are important to God. Now, what does a person like when they're little in their own sight? Well, they were looking for a king, this great king, the first king of Israel. They're looking around, they're trying to find a king, and they said, well, his name is Saul, but where is he? And he had hidden himself among all the stuff and all the luggage and stuff that was there and the foodstuffs, and he was hidden underneath there, and he was the biggest man in Israel, tallest, and he had hidden himself there. Why? Because he didn't think he was worthy. He was from the smallest tribe, the poorest tribe, and he was a nobody, and so I can't do anything for the Lord. And so, Lord, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Did you know God today is looking for little people? People that are little in their own sight. Lord, if you tell me exactly what to do, I can do that. And God says, I can use you. He used Saul for great victories when he was little in his own sight. That's what God's looking for today. little people. Now, you'll notice another one. I like this one. Turn your Bible to 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings 5. Now, history tells us that Naaman went back to Syria and won many of his countrymen to Christ. But you want to know why? Notice 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, but he was a leper, the last part of that verse says. And notice verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. You know, God's looking for little maids today. Now, this little maid had it really difficult. Apparently, her parents had been killed in the raid. She had no family left. She was taken as a slave, and she had gone into this Naaman's wife's support group. She was there to serve her. So she was cleaning and doing everything, and she saw Naaman as a leper, but she knew there was a preacher in Israel that could heal him. And she just simply said, you know, there's a preacher in Israel that can heal him. And that word of a little maid made all the difference. Naaman got saved. Do you realize, everybody in this room, you have the power of being a little maid with big words? We have a great God. Who have you told about him? This little maid did. Do you tell people at work? Have you told people in your neighborhood? A little maid. God wants us to be little so he can use us. That way he gets the glory. Are you little today in your own sight? Do you look at it and say, I can't do anything? Then God's looking for you. Will you trust him to use you? God's looking for little people. He's not looking for little sins. He wants you and I to notice them and do two things. Now, the last thing I want you to notice is a little prayer makes an eternal difference. In Luke chapter 24, there's two thieves on the cross. And for a period of time, they've both been cursing Jesus and making fun of him and talking to him. And if you're God, get us down from here. And neither one of them believed in him. And then all of a sudden, the sun goes dark. And for about 3 hours, it's just pitch black and no one can see anything. And they hear Jesus crying out, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. They know not what they do. And so it touches the one thief's heart who's unnamed, a nobody. Someone that's receiving capital punishment for his sin. And he turns to Jesus Christ and he's so ashamed of himself. So he says, Lord, just remember me when you go into your kingdom today. And what he was trying to say and the only way he knew was, Lord, I'm really sorry that I'm worthless. And Lord, would you just think about me when you go into heaven? The Lord Jesus looked at him and said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. A little prayer. You know the way anybody in this room is going to get to heaven? Only way you're getting to heaven is one little prayer. In Luke 18, two people came to church. One was a religious leader in all of his robe and garb, and he came in and said, Lord, I'm thanking you. I'm not like all these other people, and I tithe, and I fast twice a week, and I do all these different things for you. And he turned and went away, and the Bible says that man went away in his sin. And another one came and knelt at the altar, and he beat on his chest, and he said, Lord, I'm a nobody. It's a little me. Would you forgive me of my sin? I'm sorry. And he got up off his knees and walked out, and God says, that man went away justified. Have you come to Jesus today with that little prayer? Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. That's the only way you can get your sin forgiven. The little ones and the big ones. But if you pray that prayer, if you say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I know Jesus died for me and he paid my debt. Would you forgive me of my sin? You can walk out of here today redeemed and on your way to heaven and important to the Lord enough that he spent his son's blood on your soul. But today you have a choice. You can pray a little prayer or you can pray no prayer. It's your choice. Maybe you're here today and now let's go back to the original text, a stinking savor of someone that's in reputation for wisdom and honor. Maybe you're a Christian today. You know the Lord is your Savior, but you've made a mistake. and you've belittled it. You've made it small. And God says, it's big to me. How many of you, a simple word has hurt your feelings sometimes or hurt your heart? How many of you have had to fight to forget a word that someone at one point in time has said to you? Raise your hand. Okay? A simple word. You know what? There's a simple little statement that you can say. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? It's a little thing. But it changes the courses of relationships. It's just, we won't do that unless we're little in our own sight. When we become a little big, when we become important, when we've accomplished something with God's brain and God's body, we look at it and say, I'm not going to say I'm sorry for that. And God says, oh my goodness, what are the cost of that is? All the blessings you're missing. One little sentence. Honey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Brother, sister, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You and I look at big things. Do you remember who gave the most at a church service in the New Testament to Jesus? The rich men came up and they put their money in the pot, and there was a little lady came up and she gave how much? Two mites. You know, that is 2/5 of a penny. If you took a penny and you cut it into 5 parts, she put 2 parts of a penny in, less than 0.5 cent. And God said, she's given more than all of them. Little things are important to the Lord. A little faith promise is important to the Lord. A little prayer is important to the Lord. How many ever heard of a guy named Elvis Presley? Okay. I was in Memphis for 7 years, and Graceland was his home that he bought. In 1973, Elvis was known in his close circle to be generous. Number one, he got so much money he didn't know what to do with it all. So he decided he'd be good to people. In 1973, there was a dealership in Memphis that he bought 29 Cadillacs from and gave them to his friends. In 1974, Bob Brown, the salesman that he dealt with, wrote him a plaque and said, to the world's greatest car buyer. He had bought 31 caddies that year, giving them away. But the greatest story anyone had heard of Elvis's kindness, he was driving in Memphis with his buddy. I think his name was Eddie Nafal. He was riding with his buddy in his car, and he remembered, 1960, he remembered a phone call he had to make. And he checked his pockets. For what? What did he check his pockets for, John? Coins. Does anybody know what for? Now, this is for the older generation. Okay? Can somebody tell me what he checked his pockets for? A coin. What was he going to do with the coin? Go to the phone booth. How many of you don't know what a phone booth is? Let me see your hand. How many of you have never seen a phone booth? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Come on, be honest. Look at this group right here. Never seen a phone booth. Wow, that's terrible. You're going to really regret it after I tell you the story. So he gets up to this phone booth, and he gets out, and he parks his car, and he's standing by the phone booth, and Eddie checks his pockets, and Elvis checks his pockets, and it's obvious that neither one of them's got a dime. That used to be the price of a phone call. You know what? Everybody didn't have cell phones. That's a new thing. How many of you remember the phone with the brick on it and a cord? How many remember that? I thought that was the coolest thing in the world, man. You're riding in your car and you pick up the phone, you call. You want to put that phone way up high so somebody can say, he's got a phone in his car. Wow. You know, well, they'd put those in cars. Elvis had them in his car. Wow, that was cool. But they didn't in 1960. They had these little boxes on the walls of corners, and they were called phone booths. And you'd walk up, you'd open the little door and go in the phone booth, and you'd close the door so nobody could hear you talk. And you pick up the phone, and you have to put the quarter in or the nickel in or the dime in. And so they're standing on the street corner and they're doing this. And a guy's walking by. He said, y'all need a dime? Pulls out his dime and he gives it to him. Gives it to Elvis. Doesn't recognize. Gives it to Elvis. And Elvis goes in the phone booth and he's called. He said, hey, Eddie, go get that guy's name and phone number. Go get the guy's name and address, rather. So Eddie chases the guy down and says, hey, man, what's your name and your address? He tells him. 3 weeks later, he gets a note in the mail. Thank you for the dime. Your house is paid. And his family said, you lie. So he gets the letter from Elvis and he says, look here, signed Elvis Presley, thank you. And he pulls out, unfolds it, there's the deed to my house. Now let me ask you this question. If Elvis Presley is that good over a dime, what do you think your God is over righteousness or witnessing or loving people? Elvis had a limited bank account. Our God does not. But you know what? We value little things as nothing. And God says they're big. Today, have you asked for forgiveness of the little sins you've committed? Have you chosen, I'm not going to do those little things anymore. I want to do the right thing. No more flies in my life. Today, remember the dime. If that's the goodness of one man, what do you think God can do? I think we're missing a lot of blessings. I'm constantly reminded of Malachi chapter 3. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there's not room enough to receive. You know what he tells us? He said, you let me have the dime, and I'll give you the house. Will we trust him? Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ today, would you come just as you are, a little person, needing a big man, a big person, God himself, the creator of all the universe, to give you that which you cannot get as a free gift, eternal life? We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you've never prayed that little prayer, the one that makes an eternal difference, would you come this morning? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I know Christ as Savior, but there's some little things in my life. I know they're there, and I want the Lord to help me with them. Maybe there's some apologies you need to make to the Lord or somebody else. I'm going to ask you to come this morning, kneel at this altar. You got to forget everybody else is in the room. And just take care of the little things between you and the Lord. Maybe there's somebody in your family that you love very much. You want to pray for them to take care of their little things. You've already taken care of yours, but you want to pray for them. Folks, let's love each other. If a dime was important to Elvis, what in the world could righteousness be important to God? We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to our feet. If you need to come this morning, could I encourage you? You've never been saved, come trusting. You've never been baptized, let me help you with that. We can see you get baptized this morning. You need to come be a part of our church. I encourage you to come forward this morning. We'd love to have you be a part of our church. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts today. Lord, help us to value little things like you do. Lord, they're not little, but we make things like little ewe lambs, we take advantage of them. Or little flies, we take advantage of them. Lord Jesus, help us to love you more than all. Speak to our hearts today. Help us to pray those little prayers that make eternal differences. In your precious name we pray. Amen.